everyone. Welcome to our webinar on driving Skype for Business adoption through service improvement. I'm Daniel Cumner, and I'll be your host for today. Today, I have with me Dwight Jones. Dwight's a senior IT service manager for Skype for Business here at Microsoft IT. Hi, Dwight. Would you like to tell us a bit about yourself and about your role?
Absolutely. My name is Dwight Jones, and I am a senior service manager here at Microsoft. I have been in IT now for approximately 30 years, and for the last 14 years, a Microsoft employee. For the past 4 years, I have been supporting unified communications, starting with Link, and now to present-day Skype for Business.
Very cool, very cool. And I see we've got a slide up there talking about our mission and here at Microsoft. We obviously play a big part of that here.
Absolutely. Of course, here at Microsoft, we want to empower every person and every organization on the planet to achieve more. As a representative of Microsoft, my goal today is to represent my teammates, my leadership, and our partners across the world as we share our mission, worldview, ambitions, and culture. Here at Microsoft, as we deploy our technology in our environment, and we are first and best, we want to make sure that we are advocating to drive service improvements and product improvements on behalf of our users and our customers everywhere.
That's great. So the work we do, we drive back into the product group to help them make product improvements.
Absolutely.
Terrific. Great. So before we get started, we'll have a quick look at our agenda, but you should be able to see a question in the Bing Pulse window. So feel free to answer that, and your responses are going to help us understand where you're at with your journey for Skype for Business. We've just done some introductions, so that's great. We're going to talk about Skype for Business, the current landscape. We're going to talk about how we've moved our accounts over to the cloud. We'll talk about the service improvement program in general, and get into some specifics on that, I'm sure. And we're also going to talk about the best practices, tips and tools and tricks that you guys have learned along the way. So look forward to that. Also, as we mentioned, we're going to have a Q&A session, but we're going to leave that towards the end. But if you would feel free to put your questions in the Skype window, we will get to those at the end of the session. But as you think of them, put them in, and we'll get to them towards the end. So Dwight, how about we jump into our content?
Let's get started. Really excited to have this conversation today with you all. I get to share about our journey, and we'll start with a bit of history. When Microsoft acquired Skype in 2011, we basically had a number of unified communications platforms in our infrastructure. We had Office Communicator, we had Link, some may even remember MSN Messenger. And so we have been on a journey to reconcile those different communications, unified communications platforms into what today is Skype for Business. When you think about the complexity of our environment and what we have to manage here at Microsoft and IT in general, you know, there are things that you can manage, what's like in your IT data center, and there are things that you can influence. And so thinking about our environment where we have on-premise users, which are IT data center managed and cloud managed users, we have many client versions as we are supporting not only desktop devices and laptops, as well, but we're also supporting mobile devices. You know, we have internal networks, but we also have to be concerned about that the user's home network. Yep. And so it's a lot of technology that is distributed across the internal IT domain as well as outside. But when you look at our journey and where we are with Microsoft today, we are driving towards cloud, to be cloud and mobile first. And looking at our landscape, we still have 128,000 users that are in the IT managed data center environment, but we are rapidly deploying our users to the cloud. And so we'll share a little bit more about that roadmap. Being first and best is creating that cloud story. And as we discuss, our ambition is to get all of our users to the cloud. But it's not just making that journey, but it's how we make that journey so it is relevant for our customers. And so this slide here speaks to some of the work that we are doing today in terms of driving to the cloud. We have just crossed a threshold that's called multinational corporation, where we have not only the cloud that's in North America, but we also have an EMEA or Europe cloud. And we're also working to build out our cloud infrastructure for Asia Pacific and Japan region as well. And so when we look at what that takes and what that means, Microsoft is building the story in terms of how do we port users from, you know, legacy carriers to our environment. And so we are writing that story. It's important for us to, as we migrate for Skype for Business, Exchange mailboxes, we have to drive that migration to the cloud. And we're solving some of the challenges, such as how we manage hunt groups and things of that nature. But at the end of the day, you know, we will have the full complement of a unified communications platform in the cloud.
Very cool. And Skype is such an integral part of what we do here at Microsoft. I mean,
absolutely.
Every day, every waking minute, people are on Skype.
Absolutely. From the NEO program, which is our new hire program, day one, you start using Skype for Business for collaboration, and it's embedded in everything that we do, even this particular meeting, which is a Skype meeting broadcast presentation. So as we look at our user personas, a lot has changed just in a few short years. You know, when I started working in the link space in 2013, we were asking all users to still plug into the wired network infrastructure. And, you know, we were back during that time, it was all about just being IT managed. And so a lot has changed with that user experience. And so with that, IT has to transform as well. So as we look at our user personas today, we're seeing that a lot of our users are now remote. They are bringing their own devices, and the need to leverage the Wi-Fi infrastructure as well as cellular infrastructure is more than ever. So the end user is just expecting it to the environment to work as we think about the unified communications platform. You know, we're seeing that we have over 90,000 mobile users per month. And now, I mean, this number has just increased even more. 68% of our users are now remote. And I know you probably remember when we were just talking about 50% probably of just a few months ago. We are across the world, and Microsoft, here we are federated with over 23,000 distinct domains. And so those are external companies that integrate with our unified communications platform.
That's a big infrastructure. I mean, I've been around for a while in Microsoft, and I remember those days back when Link started up, and it was like, you know, well, this is a headset you need to use, and make sure you're plugged into the network, and oh, you're at home? Well, don't worry about that. That just doesn't fly now.
No, we have to transform to support the needs of our users, and fortunately, Skype for Business has been taking us on that journey. And so, you know, we're going to round out our complexity conversation as we talk about the complexity from a service management perspective. Now, this chart is not meant to be read, but rather it is to just share some of the challenges that any really unified communications platform would have to work through. And on this chart, there are basically three streams, you know, that have to work together in concert to have a good end-to-end unified communication service. The top stream, which is in dark blue on the chart, represents the typical IT managed infrastructure. So that's where, your data center is all your managed servers as well as the network infrastructure is supported there from your IT perspective. And each of these dark triangles, they represent opportunities where there could be major incidents in our environment, whether it is from server capacity challenges, from change, from network challenges such as bandwidth or ACL VIP dip changes. And you know, the thing about it at Microsoft is that we're not just the Skype for Business is not the only infrastructure running. We're supporting all of our global users that are doing development as well as testing and releasing new versions of Windows, new devices, all are being deployed on our infrastructure. So we have to be able to manage for that. This light blue stream to the bottom right here, it represents the WAN or the access layer infrastructure where users would be connecting to today to a Wi-Fi infrastructure. And you know, and we'll be talking about some of the best practice improvements that we've driven here, but you have to be concerned with your protocol. You know, what radio are you connecting to, and how's your connectivity with your ISP or your WAN infrastructure and that telecommunications carrier there. And then the dark green ring represents the dark green stream to the bottom left represents where the user actually interfaces. And so starting with the speaker and mic combinations, here at Microsoft, Daniel, we have over 7,000 variations of speaker and mic combinations in our environment. And if you take it up the stack to, you're looking at the audio and video drivers on your device, to what type of device, is it a mobile device or is it a PC or a laptop? By the time you get to the operating system, we're at 10,000 permutations of devices that we have to manage in our Microsoft infrastructure. So, you know, we have to be concerned about, you know, all three streams as we are trying to drive the best possible experience for our users.
Yep. And I guess when there's a problem somewhere in that mix, nobody cares whether it's on the microphone at one end or on the internet. It's just a Skype problem.
Absolutely. So, you know, we are the canary in the coal mine.
Yep.
And the other difference in our service, and I think it's represented here, is that we're representing real-time communications.
Very much so.
If I lose 10 seconds of audio or video on this broadcast, it would be deemed to not be a good experience for our customers. Where traditional IT services, if your servers are working and your network infrastructure has uptime, that's enough. We have to be concerned for every user that joins that call end to end.
Awesome. Hey, look, just a quick update on our poll question.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got 16% of the people watching us that are going to stay on premise. Around 16% are going to be looking at some sort of a hybrid solution. 50% of them looking at a full cloud solution, and another 16% who are undecided. So
Okay. We've
got the opportunity to sway 16% of our audience.
You know, I hope that in this reflection and usually dealing with IT, you get to hear the pure conversation of, you know, what did it really take for Microsoft. And, you know, having coming from outside of Microsoft and being that traditional IT manager where I've wanted to, you know, manage all of my infrastructure, et cetera, it's been a journey for me to move to the cloud-first environment. And so, I have some learnings, and hopefully we'll share some learnings that will influence some opinions.
Yep.
There.
There's mm-hmm. so much to gain, but
yeah.
you also need to
yeah.
let go a little bit, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So in this section, we will be talking about the service improvements and really our journey here in Microsoft from, you know, I talked about all the different unified communication platforms that we had and how we had to reconcile that. And, you know, you will hear that it has not been a perfect journey, right? And you will hear some of some of the challenges and some of the obstacles and how we had to address them, and then some of the benefit that was gained from that. And looking towards our, the role of IT, and as we are transforming as IT, and I hope you're hearing that theme throughout this journey, where we can't just focus on availability and reliability. Yep. We have to be concerned for that end-to-end experience. You know, we have to build our processes to be agile for, you know, for the future of IT. And, you know, we are using modern engineering as we drive towards DevOps and being more agile to be on faster release cycles, and IT has to transform and be there to support the rapid pace of change in our environment. So I'm going to be sharing from this point forward in this session about a service improvement that was driven here at Microsoft, and it was called Get to Green. And Get to Green represents a One Microsoft partnership where the IT team worked with the product group team to understand challenges that we were having that were impacting our sales team, particularly and those that were using Skype for Business remotely. Now, when we acquired, and I spoke about from acquiring Skype in 2011 previously, we still had Link as our primary unified communications platform. Some of the challenges that we were facing, being first and best, is that we had multiple enterprises that were running in our environment. We had the Link 2010 infrastructure, which was more of a distributed architecture, where a single server may support one service, and we had migrated to the Link 2013 architecture, which is more centralized, where, you know, we're looking at pooling servers, relying on Windows Fabric and things of that nature. But with this Get to Green service program, we were seeing that we were causing disruption, and we were getting low user satisfaction scores. And so that was prompted a call to action from our CIO and the vice president of Skype at that time to figure out what are those challenges that we're facing. And the Get to Green program focused on seven key areas or thematic areas where we were seeing challenges. And you keep me honest here. So, you know, we had service improvements for server and network infrastructure. You know, what we were seeing was that, you know, IT had made a decision at that time that we were going to migrate to Link 2013, but we were going to just use the existing 2010 hardware. And those servers were underpowered. And so what we were having performance challenges at peak. Our network infrastructure, we had bandwidth challenges where some of our data centers didn't have the bandwidth to support users joining calls at the top of hours and half hours. So we had to solve some of that, as well as with, you know, changes in the Wi-Fi infrastructure where we were wireless in at that time, and, you know, just moving to BYOD, just some of the pressure that was putting on our devices. You know, we had basically a client stability pillar where we needed to drive the future of driver management and video for videos and network adapters and things of that nature. So we had a client pillar, incident and change management pillar, a conference room pillar, a media quality pillar, which we're going to talk about some of the tools that came forward to help us to be able to manage our infrastructure better through telemetry. We also had a communications pillar where we reached out to our end users, and you will see a lot of that work represented as well. And then we had the release management pillar because, you know, at Microsoft, we are being first and best, and what that means is that We are driving the future of the product. So we're working with the product group who's deploying future bits into our production environment. And so we have to drive those futures while maintaining health and then caring most about the end user experience. So,
wow.
Yep. So that tees off the Get to Green service improvement. And it was a great partnership, and you'll see the partnership teams, but the output of the Get to Green is what is really great. You know, when we started, the poor call rate is how we measure each stream for Skype for Business. And our poor call rate for Microsoft globally was somewhere around 10%. We have brought that poor call rate as a result of this program to below 2% globally. You know, we launched, you know, back when we started, we had Link 2010 and Link 2013 in the environment, and then we had this vNext platform. We were able to launch the actual Skype for Business platform as a result of that and all the goodness that is coming from that, including Skype Meeting Broadcast. You know, some of the additional impact was we were able to deploy enterprise voice in regions like India, and we drove a great deal of Wi-Fi improvements and new standards for our environment, which we'll talk a little bit about. But we were also able to drive improvements into the Windows OS. We were able to improve the Surface Pro devices in terms of how the Wi-Fi management takes place. So that was a lot of goodness that came out of this service improvement.
And you mentioned the poor call rate as a measure, and that's a great measure because it encompasses everything. It's not, you know, in many cases in IT you go, okay, well our server was up 99.9% of the time.
Yes.
But if your call wasn't great, then that's really all that matters.
Yep, and I want to speak to that for because the call quality dashboard, which is, it also launched in 2014 with Skype for Business. That is the methodology, the tooling that comes with Skype for Business that allows us to measure that. And not only does it measure that poor call rate, it allows us to collect sentiment data from the users.
Right.
And so we'll talk about that Rate My Call functionality as well. So a lot of talk about the service improvement. What does it really mean to our end users? Now, coming from a position to where we were causing impact to our users to moving the needle in double digits across all of the challenges. The challenges that we were facing at the start of Get to Green were really based on availability and reliability of the service. Bugs and that we were having with the then Link product, as well as some of the network challenges that we were having. So that's where we started from, and we have been able to pivot that and move the needle. So in the last fiscal year, which was FY16, and what wrapped up this first phase of Get to Green, we gained over 18 points in the last fiscal. We've gained a few more points this fiscal as well. So we're seeing the results of taking that very strategic approach where you leveraging those pillars to drive improvements and the benefit to our end user.
Yeah, that constant improvement is great to see.
Yes. So where are we today? Today, now that we have completed that phase of Get to Green, we can focus on now making sure that our users have the capabilities that they need. The challenge that we had from an IT perspective was that telemetry and data doesn't always tell the story. And our IT metrics may be green, hey, our servers were available, but that doesn't necessarily tell you what that end user experiencing, or what are all the end users across the world experiencing. So it was important for us to develop a means of reaching our users here inside of Microsoft so we could understand what that story was. And so that was a readiness and adoption campaign with push-pull communications where we could basically get the information that we needed to drive the next level of product and service improvements. And you'll see to the right, we wanted to meet our users exactly where they were. So we used IT services, the traditional portals and things of that nature, but we've made vast improvements on that, which we'll talk about on the next slide. We use our social outlets. We use Yammer. We even have our global help desk listening on those social outlets so we can be right there for our users. We use a third party tool called User Voice, where we can listen and collect feedback from our sales associates, and they can see and vote on a particular issues, and the product group can see that telemetry to drive those product improvements. And, you know, we talked about Rate My Call, which is built into the call quality dashboard, the QOE or quality of experience database, where we are collecting sentiment data. At the end of Skype for Business calls, we ask, how was your experience? And there's a five-star rating system that, you know, we can set the percentage of users that will get, or percentage of calls that will get that pop-up, and they can just tell us that, hey, even though the telemetry may look great, I'd have a poor experience there. And then we have what we call the big red button, right? It's really a yellow smiley face where you can click on it in any Skype for Business call, and it will upload logs to IT and to the product group, so we can see exactly what may be causing experience problems for our users.
Yeah, that feedback is just critical, and I mean, we Absolutely. Find that across many areas of IT here, and just getting to know your customer, getting to know what their needs are, what their problems are, is just, it's really step one.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so as we move forward, and I'm not gonna linger here, but you know, I do want to talk about the Skype at Microsoft campaign, which was part of the readiness and adoption program. You know, we used to have very disparate information across Microsoft, where if you want to learn training for this item, or you know, how does this version of Link works versus another version, and we have compiled everything to the Skype at Microsoft site, where every user can go to get very fresh content. We update the site weekly, and they can get the tips and everything that we're talking about in this session directly from there. And so they get tips, they can get training, and they can connect with us directly. Another part of that journey from readiness and adoption is the listening and education tour. We have area IT managers here that are regionally dispersed, and they manage to help ensure that the users in that particular region are having the best experience. One of the things, and we're gonna go through it, the call quality dashboard, we wanted to make sure that we improve the quality of experience of our end users. And to drive quality, we wanted to ensure that the tools that we used in IT was available regionally. So we're gonna talk a little bit about that journey of driving that telemetry to those remote managers. So building investigations that literally would take IT months with the call quality dashboard, you can do in just a day. Now, centralized IT trying to manage buildings globally, that's not gonna work for a transformed IT. But the ability to empower IT managers with the same tools that we would normally have centralized, so that they can manage closer to that user experience, it has really made a value impact into our user experience. In addition, we have been on this journey, as we train IT managers, reaching out directly to our end users to provide them with the training that's necessary and to, you know, evangelize the tools and tips to make sure they have the best experience. Make sure that they can tie into the Skype at Microsoft site. So we have been on that journey, and this slide here represents the places that my colleagues and I have worked across in terms of providing that regional IT management training as well as listening to our users. And so we were able to collect a great deal of feedback from Microsoft employees across the world to drive into the next round of service and product improvements. So we're super excited, and when we have some listed out to where our emphasis going forward will be on that external user experience. And we're already seeing it in our product, as the product team has worked hard to make sure the mobile device experience, if you have an iPhone, for instance, that experience has improved, but it's based off of the feedbacks that we have collected from our user base to drive in the next level of product improvements. So in this section, yeah, I'll pause. Do we have any questions?
Or no, we're good.
Okay, all right. This section, I would like to show to IT managers out there some of the key best practices or takeaways for the end users. We understand that a single user on a poorly functioning or misconfigured device can impact an entire meeting experience. You know, for example, if my PC wasn't running the appropriate drivers, it could have an impact on this meeting that we're having today. So here are some of the best practices that we have, and we know that we can only influence user behavior, and so it is a repetitive conversation that we have to have with our users. But standing up that Skype at Microsoft site, that centralized repository, so that IT can be available and provide those updates, that is key to ensuring that your user base can very quickly get access to information, alerts if there are problems with the technology. We can't stress enough about using best practices and tips. So we have basically reached out, had huge campaigns to train our users to make sure that they have training at their fingertips for understanding how to host the best meeting possible. You know, a lot of times a person may be used to hosting a meeting with 5 or 10 people, but then they may get an assignment to host a meeting for 150 people. And so that we want to make sure that those best practices are there. You know, we stress a certification program of peripherals and devices. And, you know, what's in this deck, in the appendix, we're going to be sharing some of the Microsoft IT certified devices. Yes, there is a Skype certification program, but at Microsoft IT, we certify that the devices work in our infrastructure. And we think that's very important for IT managers to ensure that whatever device they choose or peripherals is certified for their environment. And I actually have a few of our devices that we use to make sure that you can have the best possible experience. But you'll see a list of it in the appendix of this presentation. We also recommend for your mobile device usage that you use what's called PSTN callback versus trying to use the full extent of the Skype client when you're over the cellular network. You know, and once again, this is influencing behavior, because we would know normally that using cell phone and driving in our car, that there could be dead spots that could basically impact your call. And so with the expectation that some users would have to have a full rich, being able to present from over their cellular network as well as you know, IM and having voice work over a cellular network environment, we found that it's best for a mobile experience to just participate more as a listener or have that conversation over the cellular environment.
Just take some of the strain off of that network connection.
Yeah, just being aware of what how you're connecting and making sure you have the best possible connection. Yes. You know, we also have, and we have steps in the appendix for how to set that up on your mobile device. And then home router or router, depending on what part of the world you're in. But have your home router configured to the best possible scenario. We provide some best practices for that where we're using AC here, and there are a lot of available routers that now support AC and then the 5 gigahertz radio versus the 2.4 gigahertz radio placement and things of that nature. So we have a list of routers that we have tested here inside of Microsoft, and I've traveled all over Europe as well as Africa, and these particular devices were available there as well. So
it's important to give our users like that helping hand as well, because I mean I know I have in the past. I mean, I've just gone to the local computer store and there's a $20 router. I'll grab that, and then I'll wonder why I'm not getting great Skype calls.
Absolutely. And so we understand that your local ISP, they are probably providing just the most inexpensive device possible. And for, you know, $50 or $100 US, you may be able to upgrade and improve your experience. But we also have tools like pre-call diagnostics that you could use. And just an example for me, I use my ISP's provided router, and I use all the right peripherals, but I was getting feedback that, hey, Dwight, you aren't sounding so great on our calls. And I was able to run a tool that's available in the Microsoft Store called Pre-Call Diagnostic, and very quickly see that, hey, just where I am sitting, there is, you know, a lot of jitter. And I was able to take a simple step of moving my Wi-Fi router one step to the right, and where I sit and have my calls tremendously improved. So empowering our users with those type of best practices to help them to make the best decision possible is really valuable for IT managers to get that type of information out to them.
See, now that's cool. I was thinking you could have moved your lounge chair to the right a little bit, but good plan to move them out.
You know, actually it's my dining room table, which is close to the kitchen, and I didn't want to move that. But that's another story. Anyway, so the last section that we're going to talk through today is the tools overview, and we talked about the media quality pillar, and here is where we get a chance to share some of the gains and how we use telemetry. I talked about rate my call. I talked about the poor call rate, and you know, the call quality dashboard, which launched with Skype for Business at Ignite in 2014, is the primary out of the box tool that is included with Skype for Business for measuring all streams for Skype for Business conferences, meetings, PST calls, etc. You know, it measures internal, external, it measures Wi-Fi and wired, it measures chipsets and devices, so it gives us a full range of view into what's happening in every stream that's in our environment. And so what I'm going to do today is kind of talk about the journey of this tool, where when it launched in 2014, and this is how it looks out of the box, or how our roll-up view looks out of the box. And just looking at this screen, we're looking at the actual call volume, and the light blue represents good calls. If you see any red there, that represents the, you know, where the percentage of poor calls, and we use this yellow trend line to trend on the poor calls in our environment. And then I talked about how we looked at rate my call, And this top trend line represents the rate my call stream in our environment. So we can see if sentiment ties to the poor call rate. And so, but out of the box, there are so many dimensions. It was very difficult and complex for users to be able to know how to measure their environment. So I'm going to take us through some recent service improvements that have been driven into the product. And I talked about meeting with our area IT managers and teaching them how to measure their own environments. So now we're able to basically develop views across our infrastructure. We are able to look at wired versus Wi-Fi versus mobile. We can see what's happening in our on-prem or corporate environment and our cloud environment. And so now, and those IT managers can select their building and see at a glance how their building is performing. And you can drill down in each of these levels to determine what could be causing impact. And so we're able to drill down into building views to actually see what is happening and how well is our building performing there. And so we're able to look at Wi-Fi performance, and you see for this particular building, you know, 1.76, it's on par with basically wired PCR. And you see the number of streams. We're able to see the how Wi-Fi improvements are made, which protocol is being run. And you can see the blue where we have AC deployed. And if you have a blue outline, that means those are good calls. So we see the, you know, we can see the quality improvements as we do a plan, do, run, and check of the environment. So as we deploy AC, we see that we're getting better calls, and we get to the driver level. But we're even able to go deeper into the telemetry. Like I said, we can see how driver health is performing, and we are even able to look at our mobile devices and see how they're performing, Windows devices, iOS, and Android devices, and we can drive improvements with each of those devices. And so that pretty much summarizes what I want to take us through today in terms of our journey and showing some of the tools that we use here inside of Microsoft to drive service and product improvement.
Wonderful. Thanks, Dwight. I mean, the journey has been, sounds like it's been a little bit of a rocky one at times, but and encompassing just so much of the technology that we've got here at Microsoft that we rely on every day. So that's been great. So if you guys would like to learn more about some of the discussion items that Dwight's been talking about, you should be able to see a couple of links coming up in the Skype broadcast window. There are some white papers and case studies that have been created based on our experience here at Microsoft. One of the things that that my team does is actually try to share that story on how we do IT here at Microsoft back with our users, and these white papers and case studies, we get the experience and the wonderful information from people like Dwight and make that available so our customers can get a fast start on their deployments and their technologies. So that's really a great opportunity.
One important part that, you know, that these white papers, it does provide more detail on this journey, and I wanted to not lose sight of that as we drive the cloud story here in IT. We have been driving towards that cloud story and that experience, and sharing those learnings in these case studies and best practices so our customers can use it. But we've gained so much knowledge, and our focus, you know, like I said earlier, it's not just to take Microsoft to the cloud, but it's how we do it so that it can be repeatable.
Awesome. That's great. So we do actually have a couple of questions. I think are we at the point where we can take a few questions from our customers? And probably just also another reminder there to give us your feedback in the Bing Pulse window.
Yep.
We do like to try and do continuous improvement on these sessions as well. So any of your feedback, we're welcome to hear. Let's take a couple of questions. So one of the questions here is you mentioned earlier on in the discussion about where we are on our journey. The mm-hmm. the question's pretty simple: is what's stopping Microsoft from moving all of its users to the cloud today?
Yeah, you know, that's a really good question. And when you think about it from a technology perspective, Microsoft could make that journey today. We have passed the MNC threshold, so we actually have our EMEA cloud that is built up, and we're starting to migrate users there. We're migrating our users to the full E5 Office 365 offering, licensing offering, and we are building out our APJ cloud as well. So we really could, make that decision, and actually my client is working out of the Europe cloud. So from a technology perspective, all the pieces there, but it's more than just making that journey and migrating users for Microsoft. It's how we migrate those users. I'm working on the project team with the PM that drives those migrations, and he emphasizes that it's the how. It's about the experience, because we want to create an experience that our users and our customers are able to replicate. So we could do it faster, but we want to solve issues like the porting experience. We want to make sure that the product is robust to provide the best experience possible for our customers to repeat.
So I sort of hear you saying, to a degree, we need to stay on the on-prem and some of the other technologies so that we can constantly showcase that experience of migrations and moving as the product changes.
Yeah, that there will be an element that will stay in on-prem, but then there are also cases where there are countries that that are regulated to where they will never go to the cloud. They will always want to localize their data. So there are those exceptions as well, and we will measure some of those, and probably in those countries, Microsoft employees will not go to the cloud, but the majority of our users will get to cloud, but we are building this journey so that it can be repeated.
Great. Okay, thanks. Next question is, what are some of the top challenges that users face with Skype for Business?
So some of the top challenges, and I covered it in a previous slide, was that remote connectivity experience, whether you're at Starbucks or at another customer site. We want that first use experience to work really well. So, there's a lot of work to remove some of the overhead in terms of ACL requirements and things of that nature, which ports need to be opened up on customer infrastructure so that can be solved. We talked about some of the challenges with mobile devices. That was a huge push from making sure that iOS devices work really well. And so the pivot has changed from, hey, the service is not up because we're dealing with capacity issues, to, what are those features? Another request from users, there was a huge interest in how do we use Skype for Business to collaborate better. And so we have Microsoft Teams, which is more of a Slack compete that basically connects all of the O365 services and makes collaboration better. So those type of feedbacks, and I'm seeing them rapidly being executed into product development.
Okay, awesome. Another question here is, what is the plan for managing emergency services globally?
So emergency services, that is a huge topic for us. And so I guess I can speak to it from a Microsoft a policy perspective for Skype for Business. Yes, Skype for Business does provide emergency services, and we're building that story now, and the way that we are building that story is that we have an intermediary for for North America that basically helps us to that intermediates, or they basically take any emergency calls and helps us validate the civic address. And the way that we, you know, the big challenge with emergency service is you know, how do you really recognize where that user is placed? And right now, we statically assign our users based on their building location. So Skype for Business, from a policy perspective, we provide emergency services, but we also caveat it that you should probably use your cellular phone in a case of an emergency. We are working to provide dynamic services so that, you know, we will be able to recognize where the user is. Say if a user is normally homed out of England and they would come here to the United States, we want that emergency services to follow them, but we're not there today, but that's on the journey.
I mean, the complexity must be huge, because you could have somebody in an aircraft flying across the world and making a call from there.
So. Yes, yes.
Okay. Looks like we've got another question here as well, and you may have touched on this, I think, already, but what are Microsoft plans for countries that don't allow data to be stored in the cloud?
Yeah, that's
a great question. And I think you answered this one a little
bit. Yeah, but, you know, we do have an actual effort that's called Go Local. And Go Local helps solve for challenges such as bandwidth challenges that countries may be having, or if they have regulatory compliance challenges. And so we are piloting that effort as we speak now to help solve for some of those challenges where countries may not have, you know, Skype for Business fully deployed.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay, awesome. Well, look, that's been great. Mm-hmm. I'm not seeing other questions coming through at the moment, and we're actually coming to the end of our broadcast here. So I'd like to thank you, Dwight, for sharing your knowledge and your experience with
it's
us.
My pleasure.
And also, more importantly, from taking time away from your day job, because you're obviously very needed back in the trenches for us. And to you, our customers, I want to thank you for joining us today, taking your time, and we really do hope that you've enjoyed the session and gained something out of this. And we hope you take the opportunity to have a look at those links and maybe hopefully we've provided you some assistance along your journey with Skype for Business. We do have regular live webinars like this scheduled every month on a variety of topics. We'd love you to join us for those and bring your colleagues along. You can find the scheduling information for those, as well as recordings and lots of other content. All of those case studies and white papers we talked about are up on our website at microsoft.com/IT Showcase. So until we see you next time, again, thanks, Dwight.
Thank you.
And thank you all. Have a great day.